right, if you have your Bible this morning, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning and the sword comes and takes his life, and his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. And then one other passage, just one verse from Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It was in 1995 that we experienced something in this country that unlike anything we'd ever experienced before. It was in April of that year that the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building was destroyed by a terrorist bomb in, do you remember the city? Oklahoma City, Sergeant Major. We never had anything like that in this country. Now, we've had a lot of things since that time, and all of you I know this week, we waked up Friday morning to the shooting out there, at the movie theater, 1201, sometime at 12 o'clock on Thursday night or Friday morning early. We've seen this week in Tuscaloosa a shooting, and I don't know if it's safe to go anywhere. We've seen shootings. They've had shootings in churches. Some of these days, who knows? I won't say that, but something could happen anywhere. I mean, just don't know if you're safe anywhere. But in 1995, they found out that a young man by the name, you remember his name? Timothy McVeigh. They charged him. We saw it all on television. I remember the day that I saw the second plane fly into the towers I was chaplain in the Army and the Army War College, and secretary came, told me, Steve, said, Chaplain Moore, come look. A plane just flew in, and by the time we got television, the second plane was hitting another tower. We've seen some terrible things. We saw all that pain and devastation on television. 168 people it killed. 19 of them were little children. And they charged, they arrested and charged and convicted Timothy McVeigh. And in 2001, he was put to death by lethal injection. They found out in that situation, that terrible, horrible crime, that there was only one other person had knowledge of it. Remember what his name was? In 1998, they arrested a guy and, matter of fact, convicted him. Terry Nichols was his name. And he went to trial. They arrested him. He went to trial, stood trial before a jury of his peers, and they found him, John, guilty. They found him guilty of involuntary manslaughter. He didn't build that bomb. He didn't plant the bomb. He didn't detonate the bomb. But one thing he did do, he had information that he knew about the bomb, and he didn't tell anybody about it. You know, there's some things in life some information is so valuable that it's a crime not to tell it. And Terry Nichols went to jail. He went to prison for the rest of his life because he had information and he failed to share that information. We have here in Ezekiel chapter 33, God said to Ezekiel, I made you a watchman. And he said, when I say to you, you warn the people, and a man, when I say these are wicked people, and you're going to die in your sins, and you don't tell them, then they're going to die in their sins. But he said, their blood is going to be on your hands. He said, if you tell them, and they still die in their sins, you can go free. You're free. I want to say there's some things in life that are so there's some information, Billy, that's so important that it's a crime not to tell it. And one of them is that we had that information. And I preached last Sunday on being His witnesses. God has made us His witnesses. And we are to share. We are to be the watchman. All of us are. I'll make 3 points this morning. I want to say this about salvation. I just want to use really one verse of Scripture. This verse in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, salvation, neither is the salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Make 3 points. Number one, I want to say that about this salvation that we're talking about, that it is, he said, ye must be saved. It's imperative. It's an imperative. Not that something you might do, not something that you have an option about. But Jeremiah, Acts chapter 4, says that you must be. It's an imperative. Salvation is for all men. Number one, it's an imperative thing. Not just an option in life. But he said, ye must be saved. You must be. No other name whereby ye must be saved. Acts 4:12. And then Jesus said in John chapter 3, a man by the name of Nicodemus came to him one night and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. In John 3, Peter said, you must be. And Jesus said, you must be. It's imperative that you be. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be born again. And I want to tell you, that's a word we don't hear a lot about that. But in this sophisticated age, Robert, but people, Jesus, the greatest man to ever live, said to Nicodemus that night, you must be born again. It's an imperative thing. And you ask some people, do you want to go to heaven? You ask probably 99% of the people, probably 100%, nearly 100%, they say, I want to go to heaven. But you ask the common person in the street, well, how are you going to go to heaven? How do you think you get there? What do you think they say? What do you think, Jack? Yeah, be a good person. Just be a good person. Well, just be I'm a good guy. They say, be kind to people? How about, I'm an American. A lot of people think, you know, I'm an American. I'm a good citizen. So maybe is that the way to heaven? A lot of people think it'll be a divine balance sheet, you know. If you have pluses outweigh the minuses, one day we get to the Golden Gate, then, you know, we'll add up the score and see how we did, you know, see if we make any. It's not that way at all. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And there's no way to heaven, no way to heaven without being born again. Now, why? I'll give you a couple of reasons. One of them is because God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. And the Bible says this, and we told over in Habakkuk, that chapter 1, that God's eyes are so pure, He can't look on iniquity. And the Bible says over John chapter 1, I'd have to get this, my text straight, but He said this, He said that we are to pursue, no, it's Hebrews chapter 12, I believe, verse 14. He said, we are to live at peace and pursue holiness, without which no man can see God. Do you hear what I said? Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Without holiness, he said this. He said, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's what Hebrews says. And you don't hear a lot of this in our you don't hear a lot of this stuff today, Craig. How long been since you heard a sermon on holiness and being holy and all? You don't hear much of that. You know, we want to give the gospel away and we want to make it easy for people to come to Christ. But he said, you got to live at peace with all men and be holy. God is a holy God. And I tell you, you can't see God without holiness. And there's no other way into heaven except being born again. And that's the only thing that makes us holy is the righteousness of Christ imputed to us through the shed blood of Jesus. I like the story of the boy that one time a Sunday school teacher was teaching, and she said, God can do everything. Little Johnny said, teacher, my mama says God can't do everything. And she said, Johnny, what is it your mama says God can't do? And he said, teacher, the one thing my mama said God can't do is see my sin through the blood of Jesus. That's a great thing. Amen? That's the one thing God can't do. And so the righteousness of God, we have to be made righteous in Him. And thank God we can be because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. But I want to tell you another reason that you got to be saved. I believe it's because we must be, we need to tell people that. We have a responsibility to tell that, to share that. I have people all the time, you know, and they talk to me about, I've heard this question asked, what about people in Romans 1 has never heard the gospel? Romans 1. Bible says they're without excuse. And you say, is that really fair of God? People over in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa who've never heard, will they be lost? Well, you know, you tell me they can't be saved. And I said this earlier this morning in the early service, Phyllis. It's a wonderful thing we do in the Southern Baptists, our international missions, emphasis and all that. That's a wonderful thing. And I was with a pastor two nights ago. He said they spent $250,000, Mike, in mission projects, mission trips around the world. That's wonderful. But I want to tell you this, that people at our door, did you know that? That people in Enterprise, Alabama that are just as shut off from the world because they get up and go to work in the morning, come home and watch television at night and go to bed and get up tomorrow and do the same thing. And they're just as shut off, I believe, as those people in the jungles of Africa somewhere. So we need to let our neighbors know. We need to share the gospel with our neighbors. They need to know. But I want to tell you, you must be. It is imperative. It is imperative that people be saved. And then number two, it's indispensable. It's indispensable. He said here, there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. So I want to tell you that it is indispensable. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14. So I want to say, first of all, it's imperative. Jesus said, you must be. And Peter said, you must be born again. And then number two, it is indispensable. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And there's no other name given among men. You say, well, other people have religion. Buddha and Muhammad and these other religions, they all have their gods, and if people are happy with their faith, if people are satisfied with what they believe, then what about them? Well, Peter would tell us today that without the name of Jesus, there is no salvation. I don't care what they believe. He said there's no other name given among men. It is indispensable. It is the only way. I heard of an exchange student who came to Christ, gave her heart to Christ. And she was excited about it. She went home to share that with her roommate. She told us that I've given my heart to Christ, and she's so excited about it. And she said, wouldn't you become a Christian too? And this roommate said, who was an American, said, well, she said, I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old. I'm already a Christian. I have been since I was 10 years old. And the exchange student said, how could you? How could you be a Christian and live with me all these months and never share with me His name? Power in that name. There's something about that name. We sing that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. He kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there's something about that name. It's an indispensable name. Amen? Amen. It's an indispensable. Hey, I said number one is it's imperative. Peter said, ye must be born again. You're not going to heaven and you're born again. No other way. We don't have a chance to see God. It is number one, indispensable. And then imperative. Number two, indispensable. No other way. You may try another way, but there is no other way. And that brings us, how many of y'all agree with the first 2 points? That you must be saved to go to heaven. Number two is Jesus is the only way. And here's number three. If you believe those first 2 points, here's number three. That I want to say it's, first of all, it is imperative. Number two, it is indispensable. Number three is it is impossible then to be silent. Impossible. If you believe those first 2 points, it is impossible to be silent. Acts chapter 4 that I read from, and go down to verses 18 through 20. Verse 18, then they called him in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether or not it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help but speak what we've seen and heard. We cannot help it. What they said, Billy, we can't be quiet about it. They charged them, said, don't teach or preach any more in the name. And they said, we can't help it. We can't help it. It's like John chapter 1. I like that. He said this. He said these things that we've touched and seen and heard. He said in John chapter 1 and verse 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we've heard and seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you, which is the word of life. And he said, we can't help it. And we ought to feel that way. I hope you have that kind of faith. And what I pray is, God, don't let it get... God, help me to keep that excitement and the joy that I had when I first came to Christ. Then I'm excited that I know him like these kids today that we baptized. I'm excited that I know him. I'm excited they know him. God, help me not to lose that joy. It is, first of all, an imperative thing. You must be saved. It's an indispensable thing. Only one name, Jesus' name. And number three, it's impossible to keep quiet about it. We've seen a lot of things happen in our world in recent years. It's a different world than it was 20 years ago. Doris and C and I, we talk about that all the time. Just a different world we live in. If you told me 20 years ago, Michael, that we'd wake up in a world like it is today and things go on, even the days before Terry Nichols and Tim McVeigh, I wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think that. No American. An American did that. An American did it. A former American soldier. That's right. But the news brings us different stories every day. One of them about a year ago. Not close to this. One of them about a year ago was that ship over in Italy, off the coast of Italy. I don't know what that captain was doing. I don't know where his brain was. I don't know what was. I don't know. I don't know the whole story. I guess only God knows the whole story. But you know that you saw the news and you read in the paper how the ship ran aground. And remind me of another ship. One that went down. It just had the 100-year anniversary not long ago, didn't it? They said it could never sink. What was the name of the ship? On its maiden voyage. They said it was impregnable. You couldn't sink that ship. And they believed that to the point that they had removed many of the rowboats. How many of y'all been on a cruise ever? I've been on 5. I love them. If y'all, somebody getting up a trip, I'll go. I love a cruise. But they said that ship was so, it was so seaworthy and so dependable that they pulled off many of the rowboats so they'd have more room on the promenade deck to dance and party. They said you couldn't sink it. They believed that until they hit that iceberg. They even believed it when they hit that iceberg, Rick. They said, you can't sink this ship. They still believed it until the water began pouring in that ship and it began to list. And then people started panicking. And I know I've seen, I think, two different versions of the ship, of the Titanic. I've seen it. You've seen the movie. How people jumping off the boat, jumping into the water. They said, Dr. Ryan said they had the lifeboats ahead, a handful of people get to them and maybe half filled, and the people in the boat, in the rowboats, would row away from the, they would row away from the Titanic in fear that the suction of that big ship going down would take them down with it. And so when people got in the boat, they'd row away and leave the crying, dying people, screaming, yelling people, women and children. One, the boats are half filled. One officer there, Tyler, he did what he was trained to do. He did what a good soldier ought to do. He blew his whistle. He said these, he said, return the boats. Return the boats. People jumping offside that ship. To return the boats. They wouldn't return the boats. They're afraid they'd lose their own life. They're trying to get away from a sinking ship. But finally they said one of the first mates, one of the sailors, he had the presence of mind to try to gather up a few of those boats. Some of them that wasn't even half full, and go back. But when he got back, by the time he got back, those bodies of women and children and men, people, some of them trying to hold on to anything that hold on, but they frozen to death in that icy waters. Point of that story is this. We need to return the boats. Hey, listen. You can live in Enterprise, Alabama, and I'm glad, Phyllis, what we do on the international mission field. We need to do it. That's a romantic thing to do. And I've been on mission trips, and I want to go, but I tell you, people need us right here at home too. You know that? And the Bible says, you're a watchman. And if you know there's some things that it's a crime to know and not tell. And like that exchange student, how could you know and you never told me the name? How could you know? It's impossible to know and not tell. Peter said that. He said, we couldn't help but speak. I love the song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep over the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. That's our job. It's my job as a preacher, and your job as a member of this church family. And even if you're not a member here, but if you're a child of God, that is our responsibility.